Hey everybody, we are headed to Georgia on United Foods of America. I hope everybody has been having a great time with the shows and the episodes lately. Just make sure that you're checking out our merch shop on culinaryconvo.com. Click the button at the top. Sign up for the newsletter where you're going to get recipes, other videos for every single episode that we make. Keep your eyes out for possibly a Patreon coming up. We'll see. But also, make sure that, like I said, you sign up for the newsletter, you subscribe to that, follow us on the socials. Like I said, follow it up on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, all those great areas, as well as culinaryconvo.com. Checking that out. But yeah, Georgia was a great state to go through. Lots of southern delicacies along with drive-ins, and I wish dives, but you know, we weren't close to the ocean, I don't believe. But maybe our sponsor was. We'll take a word from them and get back to our show. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to United Foods of America. We are in Georgia.
Georgia.
We're here with Marissa, who is caught in mushroom spaceland.
Yeah, I don't know where I am.
Yeah, she just, it's not Georgia. We know that. No. But
I think I tried getting there, but the airline got me somewhere different.
Overbooked your flight. Yeah.
Maybe it's because I didn't have a passport.
Ooh, that'll do it. Will do it. Although you're in the U.S., you're a citizen. I think you tried to go somewhere else, and it, like you said, passport issues. It happens to the best of us, you know?
Yep.
But Georgia only happens to those who are the best. Not really. I think Georgia actually was King George's prison, like, state before Australia. Like, yeah, Georgia was like a state that was like riddled with a bunch of prisoners at first. And then, of course, you know, slavery and all the bad stuff. But anyways, going on to Georgia and their foods. What do you know about Georgia?
Peach.
Yeah.
Peaches. Alabama. Nope. Wait, that's a state. Just kidding. I was thinking of Alabama Tide, and I was like, that's a city in Georgia. What's in Georgia? Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Athens. Hawks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Atlanta Hawks.
It's warm there. Mm-hmm. Very, a lot of soul food, I think.
Yeah.
I want to go there for the food.
Yeah. I mean, Georgia, to me, I just know one of my grandmothers. She's named Georgia. And then you got Ray Charles with Georgia on my mind. Then you got Georgia itself with Atlanta. You got the Braves, the Hawks. The Falcons, right? You gotta have them. And then Georgia Bulldogs. Cool. I used to wear their hats all the time. Now I'm a U of O Go Ducks. But when I was growing up, I liked the Bulldogs. That was pretty cool. But anyways, Georgia, just southern, good old food. It's got a little bit of a coast, right? Touches Florida, so sometimes I think Florida man goes into Georgia. So you gotta watch out for that. Yeah, Georgia man. Yeah. Georgia man. Or Florida.
That one's worse.
That one is worse. Oh, man. But stateofdinner.com, they go over famous foods from Georgia. And Georgia, it was the fourth state in the U.S., so pretty early on, like I said, I think it was like a prisoner state. If you got in trouble, you went to Georgia. They're like, it's hot down there. Go. You get sent there. But also, obviously, the big thing, this is the thing that, like, when I saw Georgia, I thought, oh, this is probably going to get, like, hammered on. Coca-Cola was invented in Atlanta in 1886 as a drink that could be enjoyed during the Prohibition.
That reminds me, a friend's dad at a campfire recently, I'm not going to expose the conditions, but it was just like a nice night, having fun, drinking drinks, eating s'mores. He made like a funny one-liner about being from Georgia, distributor of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And it was just silly.
I mean, it's a huge thing. If you're from Georgia, it's like, if somebody says, oh, is Pepsi okay? Those are the people that say, absolutely not. Like, that is the state that you don't do that. And which is hard in Oregon, because Oregon is like Pepsi country for whatever reason. I don't know why, but like everybody out here has got Pepsi. And so when you find somebody who has Coke, you're kind of like, yes, like I'm back home. I'm finally here. And so I feel good when I find a place with that.
Yeah, I would rather have Coke here.
Yeah, yeah. Come on out here, Coke. But anyways, Georgia is the largest state east of the Mississippi River. I did not know that. I don't know why, but if somebody asked me, I would have guessed Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Tennessee.
Maybe. Tennessee's pretty thin. That's the only thing, you know?
The only thing that I'm thinking of is that it's long and it has like the, this way, the jut.
Yeah.
To like the juts out. Right.
Yeah. I bet some folks would think Florida maybe, but obviously the panhandle, it is a true panhandle. It's a small handle. It's not very big land area wise. But the world's largest drive-in restaurant, the Varsity, is in Atlanta, and it can fit 600 vehicles.
What do they have there?
It's a drive-in, so your typical burgers and fries, you know, Sonic type, you know,
but
foods.
Better.
I would hope. I would hope way better, especially if you can fit 600 vehicles. That's at least 100 waitresses.
But do they have roller skates?
Oh, they gotta. You gotta have roller skates. If you're a drive-in, you gotta have at least one waitress, waiter, and roller skates.
What if they had skateboards to be cool?
Ooh, that would be cool. Yeah, they're like, I'm on Varsity. And they, you know, they just ride around.
Or they have, stilts.
I bet now it's just hoverboards. They just ride on hoverboards around. They're just like, hi, did you order the fries? And you're like, oh my God, you got here quick.
And then their hoverboard explodes.
Yeah, catches fire as they ride away.
They're like, oh man, not again.
Yeah, I'm going to call corporate.
I'm only paid minimum aluminum.
I'm only paid in aluminum. But yeah, so it can fit. That's just crazy to me. 600 vehicles.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a parking lot.
That's a stadium parking lot.
Yeah.
Close.
Huh. But Georgia has a state possum named Pogo.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a state possum named Pogo.
That's great.
It is pretty great. I thought I was like, that is one of the cutest things I've ever seen. Like, what is Oregon state? Do we have a state possum? Do we have a state squirrel? Do we, like, come on. Like, that's pretty great. But famous people from Georgia. First one here, big one, icon, Jackie Robinson. From Georgia. Jackie Robinson obviously broke the color barrier in baseball, was not only broke the color barrier, but like was a dang good baseball player. Very fast, kind of changed the way the league played a little bit. And then on top of that, kept fighting for the rights of ball players, whether you were, you know, a person of color or not. Was big on the whole, like, we should be free agents. You shouldn't be able to use... I'm trying to remember the clause name, but essentially where if you were bought by a team, you stayed with that team. And he, you know, he did all that kind of stuff. But great Jackie Robinson. And then obviously another one big in the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King Jr., from Georgia, obviously, along with many others using the nonviolence, method of trying to change folks' minds for the culture and for society, so that, you know, African Americans could be treated, equally as everybody else. Like, come on, guys. I look back at that time period. I know my dad and my mom both, they lived through it. And the only thing I can think in my head is today it feels like so common sense. And anybody who knows anybody that is like thinking any which way of like, oh, we should go back, you are backwards, my person. You are not thinking right. And you need to really change your ideals. But back then, it's like, it truly was like a 50-50 deal where you didn't know who you were talking to. It's like, I can't imagine that world. I really can't. And it's crazy to me to think anybody, whether, you know, trans, person of color, gay, LGBT, what have you, it's like, you treat everybody equally. Doesn't matter. Right. I don't care if your name's Muhammad or if your name's Dale and you're from Florida, okay? We're going to treat you the same. But anyways, Martin Luther King, great guy. Then you got, obviously, this one, it's like, big deal, especially if you're Richard Gere. Julia Roberts, yeah, she's from Georgia. She is famous for Pretty Woman. It's a lawyer.
She-Hulk, law and attorney.
Oh my gosh, it was a movie about a lawyer who fought for basically like environmental protections. Anyways, that name escapes me. Everybody who's listening to the podcast right now, they're yelling it out loud. That's what they're doing. yeah, type it up.
Word? I don't know. I was going to make a funny comment, but I can't remember.
Lawyer for Environment.
Lawyer for Environment.
Julia Roberts.
Lawyer movie. Train Man.
No.
Nope. Julia Roberts movies. Closer.
Nope.
August Osage County. No.
Very early in her career. Aaron Brockovich. That's what
Brockovich.
It is. Yeah, Aaron Brockovich. That was it. Yeah. Way to go. Way to go. Aaron Brockovich. Look at that. Marissa doing the heavy research that my brain couldn't lift this morning.
It was so hard.
Yeah. It was. It was difficult.
I had to type so much.
I had to wear a back brace. It was hard carrying this whole endeavor the whole
My
time.
Fingers are blistered. You can't see them because they're in the mushrooms.
They're in the mushrooms, but they're blistered. But Julia Roberts, if you asked her, hey, what is like your favorite Georgia dish? She might say, I don't know. I don't know, Julia. Julia, if you're listening, watching, whatever, if you want to come on the podcast, you can. But she might say, Will Devin? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a thick accent. And she's like, Charleston red rice. And I'm like, oh, wow, Charleston, what's Charleston red rice? She's like, well, Charleston red rice is a traditional American dish originating from the Georgia coast. It consists of long grain rice that's simmered in a rich broth with chopped tomatoes, bell peppers, onions, celery, and seasoning. Bits of bacon or pork sausages can also be added to the dish for extra flavor and texture, displaying some elements of African or French creolization. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's really great. She's like, yeah, it's important to let the rice rest for about 10 minutes before serving. I'm like, that's interesting, Julia. She's like, Charleston red rice is often prepared for big parties and potlucks.
That I'm sounds like, oh, really good, wow. Julia.
It did. Yeah. Julia, I bet she loves red rice. You know, that sounds good to me. So Julia, if you want to come on the show and correct what your accent is, please let us know at culinaryconvopod@gmail.com.
In that photo, it kind of looks like there's shrimp in there.
Yeah, it almost looks like a jambalaya gumbo type of thing.
Oh,
they're red peppers and then sausage at the end of the red peppers. So, yeah, it looks like shrimp. But it's, Charleston red rice.
Jambalaya is so good.
It is. It's very, very good. But then, after I talked to Julia, I'd probably look over at you and be like, hey, we should probably go get a Luther burger. Yeah.
Oh, whoa, that's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big boy. It is a donut burger, basically. That's all a Luther burger is. It's just a donut as your bun instead of regular bread. With more than 1,000 calories and usually over 45 grams of fat per serving, Luther Burger is one of the world's unhealthiest burgers, but its flavors and unique combination of ingredients make up for it. The standard burger bun is replaced by a sliced, sugar glazed donut, usually a Krispy Kreme donut. Aside from that, Luther is basically a cheeseburger topped with bacon, and it is typically served without vegetables or condiments. And so I've got one picture where that is true. No veggies or condiments. The other picture I've got, they have lettuce, so that's not like a true Luther burger. But
too
many
healthy.
People, yeah, too healthy. Yeah. Many people believe it was invented at Mulligan's Bar in Georgia when the cook ran out of a standard hamburger bun and used donuts instead. Interestingly, the burger was named after Luther Vandross, a popular R&B singer. So yeah. Yeah.
I'm not even like making faces because it sounds bad. I bet it would be great.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of the Cheesecake Factory. I think mac and cheese burger.
Yeah.
And like
I got that.
This is like a step above on like the pyramid of I don't think my body could deal with that.
Right. Right. Pre gallbladder removal, I got a mac and cheese burger from Cheesecake Factory, where they basically had fried mac and cheese. It was a disc of it along with the burger, and it was really good. It was pretty dang good. But yeah, your body kind of goes, hey, can you stop that? What is that cheese? I'm like, oh, it's a lot of cheese and pasta. And they're like, oh no. And it was, yeah, I, but it was good.
It's like, good. If I was going to Georgia for, like, a vacation, I would try this, but, like, this much of it.
Right, like a bite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I would give it to somebody else.
Right. This is one of those burgers that all of you order something separate, and then you order one of these burgers, and then you cut it into quadrants.
That's, like, dessert to me.
Right. Yeah, it's a dessert burger. you want your dessert burger? Yes, yes. Does it have runny egg yolk? Yes. Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Does it have lettuce? So can you take up the lettuce?
Yeah, please take off those vegetables.
Vegetables.
The vegetables are terrible.
I am from Florida. I do not like vegetables.
I'm from Florida. We do not eat those vegetables. Yeah. But now an actual dessert, but not a burger. Peach pie. Georgia peach pie. Almost looks like a tart here in this picture. I mean, pretty thin.
That crust, though, on the outer edge, that looks great.
Yeah. Yeah. Peach pie, it is a classic American pie hailing from Georgia, also known as the Peach State. In order to prepare it, a buttery pie crust is filled with sweet local Georgia peaches that are typically picked at the peak of their flavor. The pie crust is made from flour, sugar, salt, butter, shortening, and ice water. While the filling usually includes peaches, sugar, lemon juice, flour, butter, and egg wash, the pie is baked until the crust becomes deeply golden and the filling is bubbling. Once chilled, it is sliced and served with whipped cream. Interestingly, peach pie is the official state pie of Delaware. There's going to be a war between Georgia and Delaware. Because the state was the leading producer of peaches in the 19th century. So, 19th century, Delaware was like, we're all about the peaches. And then Georgia was like, oh, really? Have a Coca-Cola on the side, Delaware.
And a donut burger.
Yeah, and a Luther. Yeah. Oh, man. But the next one here, and actually one of my favorites, like if somebody said, hey, Devin, what is your favorite this? I would probably list this up there. A Vidalia onion. Oh, man, Vidalia onions are good. It's a sweet onion. It is a unique variety of onions with a sweet flavor produced in Vidalia, Georgia, in the United States of America. By 1977, the onions had their own annual festival, a tradition that continues up to this day. And in 1990, I was born in 1990, the Vidalia onions became the official state vegetable of Georgia. So I wonder if you made a Luther burger with Vidalia onions on it, if anybody would complain, you know?
I love onions.
Yeah, they're brilliant, man. They're so great. Shrek likes them. He feels like he is an onion.
Yep, many layers.
Yeah, many layers.
I have many layers, too.
Right. We all feel like an onion some days, you
Each time I come on this podcast, you're actually watching me unpeel my layers, which is why there are different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And if you remember, in one of the episodes, I was making French onion soup.
Yeah.
as foreshadowing.
Yeah. Not French carrot soup. Not French potato soup.
French Vidalia onion soup.
Yeah, French Vidalia onion soup. Yeah. But the onions are at their peak in late summer when they're used raw in salads or caramelized and combined with mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love some caramelized Vidalia onions on a burger or a hot dog. If anybody can tell, I have this longing in my face of like, oh, I want all these good things. And it's because I've been like actually paying attention to what I eat recently. And I've been like walking and trying to be healthy. And so I see these things and I got Biscuit coming over. He's like, Dad, no, don't talk about the good tasting things. It'll make you mad. And I'm like, mad? He's like, yeah, because you hate it when you can't have those things. Oh, I heard him. Oh, he's looking out the window. He's got to see what's going on. There's like five birds out on our window thing out here.
Yeah.
So he's got to check it out.
Earlier, Biscuit was winded by a friend and beloved member of the podcast, Kaylee Ream.
Yep. Yep.
She just, you know.
Yeah.
Hurt his feelings pretty bad. And he let out the most saddest squeak ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like,
he couldn't believe it. Yeah. Yeah, you kind of, yeah. I couldn't believe it. I there's just times where you're like, are we the monsters? Is that what this is? Yeah. But no, not a monster, and sweeter than a Vidalia onion, peanut butter pie. So yeah, peanut butter pie. It's a traditional American pie hailing from Georgia. It is sweet and salty pie, consists of a crumbly pie crust that's filled with gooey peanut butter and chunks of roasted and salted peanuts. The filling is enriched with brown sugar, flour, butter, eggs, milk, vanilla extract, and corn syrup, while the crust is made from flour, sugar, salt, butter, and water. If desired, the peanuts can also be added to the crust. Once done, this nutritious pie is typically served with a dollop of whipped cream on the top. Sounds like a lot of peanuts.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is the thing that you accidentally serve to your allergic whoever, and it's like, oh, I thought it was sweet potato. I can't imagine. Like, I bet if you're allergic to peanuts and you walk into a room with peanut butter pie,
it
you're
would be
like...
over.
Right. You automatically are in hives and you're like swelling and people are like, is there a peanut butter pie in here? that's gotta be. Ooh.
Oh man, but, it sounds so good though.
It does.
Imagine a peanut butter pie ice cream.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and not only that, but like drizzle hot fudge over the top of this.
Why don't people put like the crust in pie flavored ice creams?
They do. Tillamook, Marionberry pie, ice cream. Yeah. Yeah.
Looks like I'll have to be switching it up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you will. Tillamook, one of the best ice creams out there, nationwide. But out of Oregon anyway, yeah, they got a Marionberry pie ice cream that is too drool over. I don't want to say die for, because if you die, you can't eat it. So, like... Yeah.
Do you think it could compete with a peanut butter Georgia ice cream?
We won't know until Tillamook tries, you know? Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know how other people around the U.S. pronounce Tillamook?
Tillamook?
They say Tillamook. Yeah. Isn't that painful? Ugh.
That's like Oregon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you're from Oregon. It's like, yeah, oregano. Like, what is going on?
And then they hear us say, like, every 5 seconds, and they're like, you don't get to talk. And I'm like, I know. I just said, like.
Sorry. Didn't mean to. But the next one here, and probably the most famous export from Atlanta other than Coca-Cola, the chicken sandwich. Yeah. Chick-fil-A obviously comes from Georgia. It is a chicken sandwich consisting of boneless chicken filet, various toppings, and bread. The meat can be shredded, deep fried, roasted, or grilled, and the sandwich can be served either hot or cold. Numerous variations exist. So there's also chicken wraps and open-faced versions of the chicken sandwich. It is believed that the first chicken sandwich was invented in 1946 when an Atlanta restaurant owner named Truett Cathy made an alternative to the popular hamburger. He placed a piece of boneless grilled chicken filet in a bun and named it Chick-fil-A. Today, the popular fast food chain Chick-fil-A claims that they had invented the sandwich in the 1940s, but that claim is rejected by most people today as a marketing ploy, since Truett Cathy was the founder of Chick-fil-A fast food chain, but he made the first sandwich before the fast food chain ever existed. Regardless of its origins, chicken sandwich is a popular delicacy that is enjoyed throughout the world in its numerous variations.
I don't even consider this controversial, but Chick-fil-A walked so Popeyes could run.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the big takeaway, you know. If I had to go with best fast food chicken sandwich, totally Popeyes. And a lot of people are like, they think, it, you know, they try to go back and forth on it. To me, and it, obviously it's personal opinion, but the crunch on a Popeyes chicken sandwich is so good. The seasoning on it is spectacular. The pickles are great. I've tried other chicken sandwiches pretty much at every place. For the longest time, the spicy chicken sandwich at Wendy's, that was like a heavy hitter for me. That was really good. Then I got turned on by a buddy of the pod, Dustin. He was telling me, no, go to Wendy's, order the cheap chicken sandwich, and then ask for chili oil. And I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean chili oil? He's like, you can ask for chili oil and a packet. They'll give you a packet. And I was like, okay, fine. So we do that. Blew my mind. It was amazing. It was. And so that was really, really good for a long time. I would say the best cheapo chicken sandwich out there, McDonald's McChicken, bruh, that is like the world's chicken sandwich at this point because of how cheap it is, the price point. But then on top of that, just like lettuce, mayo, chicken, done. Like you already like the McNuggets, whatever. Go for that, I guess, you know.
Yeah, there was actually and there's probably been several versions, but the most recent video I watched about it was a guy ranking chicken sandwiches, and yeah. Wendy's and McDonald's got a flat B for being like generically good. Yeah. And then Popeyes, as soon as they had it, they had to remove what they had at the S tier, or just like the highest tier. They demoted it to put Popeyes alone on the top tier.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah.
I don't think I will, like, ever forget the first bite into the sandwich because it's, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Experiencing it.
Yeah. And I grew up, I've mentioned this many a time, there was Chick-fil-A in our high school cafeteria, and I've had Chick-fil-A. This was before we knew they were like as the quote unquote hate chicken. So I did not know, but it was like, I remember trying it and I remember thinking at the time, like, wow, this is a really good chicken sandwich, but boy, is it plain. Like, and it was, there was no mayo on it. There were no pickles. There was nothing, which that's more of like the school's issue, I guess. You know, you don't usually get that from, you know, when you go to Chick-fil-A. But then I went to an actual Chick-fil-A because I was like, oh, it's a good chicken sandwich. I'll go there. I literally left that Chick-fil-A because I remember looking at the prices and being like, this is not fast food. That's what I remember. I was like, a combo meal is like $11? And that was back like in 07, 08. So it was kind of like crazy to me that they were selling chicken, which at that time was kind of like, it was not as superior as a beef burger. It just wasn't.
What is the average price now for a combo?
Oh, it's got to be close to that. Yeah, it's got to be close to that, if not higher.
Combo meal at Chick-fil-A. I spelled chick wrong, but I don't care. Okay, just tell me how expensive it is, isn't it, please?
Just tell me the price. Yeah.
It says a comp. I don't know if this is accurate.
Yeah, I bet it.
A combo is around $5.95, I think. It's
for the plain one, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I would not doubt.
And then a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
It's like four something.
$4 yeah. Flat.
Yeah.
Go yep. to Popeye's.
Go to Popeye's, folks. Yeah. Get it from
but
there.
But also, I think, to create something that would, like, destroy the universe because of how good it would be, Raising Cane's sauce on top of the Popeye right. sandwich.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and Raising Cane's, you can grab their toast and make, like, a miniature tender sandwich, yeah. which is a good move. But, yeah, the thing that I will say, there are way better chicken sandwiches out there that are made in actual restaurants. So all of these are mainly, like, the fast food type, where you can get it quickly, fairly cheaply, and you're not having to make it at home. Because homemade chicken sandwiches, you can get pretty extravagant with some of those. Especially with the batters and the deep fry and the... Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can't imagine some of the stuff that's coming out. There's, yeah, multiple restaurants that have been like, here is our chicken sandwich. Shake Shack, they have a pretty good chicken sandwich for how quickly and how fast they can make it. But anyways, enough it's of the chicken very... sandwich wars. Oh, okay. We've seen enough casualties. We've seen enough of the chicken wars. Did you have a last thought?
Nah.
No. Okay. Well, yeah. Anyways, past the chicken wars, Biscuit is going to walk on by here. Oh, thanks, bud. Thank you. But anyways, we have the Chatham. I believe it's Chatham or Chatham Artillery Punch. Yeah, it is a punch that originated in Savannah. The cocktail is made with muddled lemon juice and lemon peel, bourbon, cognac, rum, champagne, and nutmeg. To prepare the cocktail, lemon peel is muddled with sugar and lemon juice. The peels are removed from the mix, and the juice is added to the bowl with ice cubes or crushed ice. Cognac, bourbon, and rum are added next, and the drink is stirred and topped with champagne. Yeah.
Sounds like it would be bitter.
A little bit. It's definitely one of those drinks where it's like savory, but the champagne adds the sweet bubbliness to it. Then rum is a sweet one, usually. But anyways, they say it is not known who invented it, but as reported in the Augusta Chronicle, it was served for the Republican Blues, who were welcomed by Sergeant A.B. Luce, or Lucy, or Luce. And the Chatham or Chatham Artillery. The drink became famous in the 1870s after it was served on a riverboat cruise for a group of journalists. They're like, Chatham Artillery Punch is wonderful. And they all,
here's my drink.
Yeah, they all went to the play and watched Mickey Mouse. I don't know. But anyway, the next one here, via Food Network and their what to eat in different states. This is what to eat in Georgia. Boiled peanuts. That's right. Boiled peanuts.
Hmm.
Yeah, boiled peanuts, if you haven't had them in a long time, they kind of hit the spot. Otherwise, they're just slimy things, man. They are like, they're so weird to me. They're so strange. But anyways, call them what you like. Some people call it a groundnut, a goober, pindar nut, or peanut. But Georgia's official state crop is a worldwide favorite. After all, where would we be without the PB&J, without the all-important P, right? Peanut butter. Particularly in peanut country, though, boiled peanuts, pronounced boiled peanuts, so B-O-L-L-E-D, so boiled peanuts, in a southern drawl, are a crowd pleaser. The uninitiated might liken their tender texture to edamame, which is true. It's kind of same graininess as edamame. Since they're cooked with salt and spices, they don't need any additional seasoning. At Augusta's, Finch and Fifth, boiled peanuts are a year-round favorite. Kitchen sources about 50 pounds of peanuts each month. from a nearby farm and boils them in Pabst Blue Ribbon beer with their own secret spice blend.
If it's similar to edamame, then I might try it.
To me, like I said, I like it. It's just I could not eat these all the time. Mm-hmm. They're just strange kind of. And like I said, some people are like fanatics about boiled peanuts. They're like, I want dry peanuts. I want boiled peanuts.
Do you think like, they would be a side at like a gourmet Georgia restaurant?
Yeah, probably. If they're trying to stay like Southern, like true Southern cuisine. Yeah, it's probably on there. I don't know. I'm used to people eating peanuts at baseball games, so it's dry peanuts. If you had a bag of boiled peanuts and it reeked of Pabst Blue Ribbon, pretty much everybody around you would be like, John, go to rehab, okay? Like, please stop doing this.
Sherry's bald boiled peanuts offered with the beer mixed in to make it terrific. Yeah.
Is it the fifth inning yet? It's like, John, everybody went home. The game's been over for hours. Please, let's go.
Have you seen them Braves on the TV with their bald peanut helmets?
Bald peanuts, yeah. They got bald peanuts, peanut butter, yeah. See, I think they're just like saying P words. Peaches, peanuts, pecans. They're big on...
Patsy, I don't know.
Patsy. Patsy Cline. Yeah, but now the next one here, to me, this is like an American staple, which it's interesting to hear it comes from Georgia. Meat and three. So you get your main meat and then three sides, right? Georgians love their meat and three restaurants since they've been putting the choice in the patrons' hands. Guests choose one protein and three southern side dishes. Macon's H&H restaurant has been serving their friendly brand of southern fare since 1959, including famously to the Allman Brothers Band before they were well known. On any given day, you'll find meatloaf, fried catfish, country fried steak, and smoked turkey on offer. Though the fried chicken made from time-honored recipe is by far the most popular meat. Pair it with your choice of sides, including macaroni and cheese, fried okra, collard greens, squash casserole, green beans, and more. You'll have a stick to your ribs meal.
It sounds so good.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. This is like the jam. This was like,
I want to go to the South so bad for the food.
Yeah, just for the food, man. They know how to treat people well with their food. And then the next one here, me and my brother, we like fondly love my mom's version of this, chicken and dumplings. You gotta love chicken and dumplings. A few things south of the Mason-Dixon are as comforting as chicken and dumplings, with their luxurious broth, tender chicken meat, hearty vegetables, and toothsome dumplings. Some swear by dropped and boiled, while others favor rolled noodle-like dough. I like the drop and boiled. Main reason why, they get kind of fluffy. And then you can sop up some of the sauce in your boiling liquid. And it's good. It's very good. At Atlanta's Watershed, Zeb Stevenson uses a time-honored recipe, keeping it simple, with a mix of breast and thigh meat and airy white flour buttermilk dumplings suspended in rich, thick chicken broth scented with fresh herbs and local vegetables. Served piping hot, it's a year-round favorite.
I've only had chicken and dumplings one time, and I think the dumplings were made from a box that was like 3 years old, so it was stale. So I haven't experienced like true chicken and dumplings, but just that, even at its like stale stage, it was so good.
Yeah. It's one of those things. My mom, she adds herbs and things to her dumplings, and they're usually fresh herbs, so it's like it's kind of zesty in a way. And like, yeah, there's something about chicken and dumplings that every time you get, it's almost like matzo ball soup for like the Jewish community. All those things. There's something about it. It immediately is like, yeah, this is home in a bowl. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It just hits right.
If there's any like food truck that serves chicken and dumplings, tell me.
Yeah.
Like, call me, please.
Yeah. I thought I just heard a bird hit our window.
I don't know what that was.
He's like, hey, you got some chicken and dumplings in there?
Chicken and dumplings! And it just hits it. Yeah. But the next one here, I mean, we already had a peach pie. We already had peanut butter pie. Now we got pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie. Yeah. But pecan pie or pecan trees grow in abundance in Georgia. And as a result, almost everyone's mama has a signature pecan pie recipe in their arsenal. At Thomasville's Chop House on the Bricks, the iconic dessert gets the white tablecloth treatment with local KBH Farms pecans, scratch-made pie dough, and blackberry patch cane syrup. Sliced into generous portions and topped with a creamy cinnamon ice cream, the decadent dessert has become one of the restaurant's staples. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had pecan pie.
As a child, I hated pecan pie because it was a nut. I didn't like almonds, walnuts. I didn't like any of that in like a dessert, right? I was like, no. Then there was one time where I don't know what happened. I think my dad, it was either my dad or my mom. I can't remember which one of them actually likes pecan pie. They ate just the pecans because they were like, oh, it's just the pecans, so it's not as bad or something. And I ate the filling and the crust, and I was like, the filling and the crust rock. Like, this is awesome. I later figured out it's mostly butter that makes up the filling, which is why it's like, ooh, this is so good. But, yeah, and so then it was like, oh, I bet if you try it with the pecan, maybe it's okay. And then I did. Oh, it was amazing. And now my mom, she makes pecan like I don't know if you call them bars, but they're like, it's like a pecan pie cookie, basically. It's a graham cracker with the filling that's like thinner. It makes it like an icing, and then you just throw pecans on top of it, and it is so good. And it's like a cookie. You just eat it like a cookie, and then pecan pie, period. Amazing.
I don't think I've ever had your mom cook for me, and it upsets me because over and over you talk about all of these wonderful meals, and I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know what it's like, but I do. I want to know what it's like.
I want to know what it's like.
I want food.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, you know. You get up and you start walking around a Ream home, and if you smell Sarah Ream's cooking, watch out. You're about to have a life-changing experience, good or bad. You're about to have a life-changing experience. But the next one here, another great Southern staple, fried green tomatoes. Juliet, a quaint town in Middle Georgia, has become synonymous with fried green tomatoes since the 1991 movie of the same name was filmed there. Fans who loved watching Mary Louise Parker, Mary Stewart, Mary Stewart Masterson, Kathy Bates, and Jessica Tandy on the big screen can follow in their footsteps at the Whistle Stop Cafe. The pale green tomatoes are sliced, lightly battered, and fried to a crisp golden brown. They're available as an appetizer and atop a salad, but they can be tasted to their best advantage on a rye sandwich with bacon, mayonnaise, lettuce, onion, and Swiss cheese.
Yeah, before you read that, I was going to be like, what if you took a salad and put it in the middle and then put one of those on top and just, like, ate it like a sandwich?
Totally. I've definitely heard of a fried green tomato BLT, right? That's kind of like, yeah, I think it's like a BL fried green tea. That's what I think I've heard it called before.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They're kind of mealy, which is great. They're like hard, mealy type. Reminds you of eggplant, but it's tomato acidic instead of eggplant, you know, roughage vegetably.
Yeah, even fried, it still sounds pretty refreshing.
Yeah. The crumb, the texture on the outside, definitely you season it like crazy, and it makes it It's like you just know who, whatever farmer, whatever, was like, man, I got to do something with these tomatoes, and did that. They started something that the South
Nobel
has not
Prize
let go.
Immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You've created peace, my friend. You've done this. And then the next one here, which I love it. because it's like a hand pie, so it's really awesome when you can just walk and eat pie. Like, that's a great thing. But fried apple pies, oh my gosh. North Georgia's mountains are peppered with pick-your-own apple farms. One of the region's most popular is Mercier Orchards in Blue Ridge, which sits on 300 lush acres. The farm grows nearly 50 types of apples, including Crimson Crisp, Empire, Ginger Gold, Cameo Yate, and Gold Rush. At the country store, the fried apple pies are a perennial favorite. The kitchen rolls the scratch-made crust, fills it with sugared apples, then fries it to a crisp. The result is a sweet, tart treat that's equally delicious, hot or cold. Those who can't make a trip down south can still partake. Mercier ships freshly fried pies anywhere in the country.
I want it.
You can have a Mercier fried pie.
I want to go to Georgia. I want to go to Georgia.
I want to go to Georgia or Florida. Either one.
I like that it like keeps getting worse each time you say it.
Yeah, just keeps going off the rails. One of the best breakfast sandwiches out there, fried chicken biscuit. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, especially the one that I got pictured here. It's got hot sauce. It's got an egg on it. Yeah, it's basically mankind's way of saying we have dominated the chicken. It's like kind of how this goes. Georgians love their fried chicken, and even at first thing in the morning, it isn't too early to enjoy. At Chef Hugh Atchison's Empire State South in Atlanta, the kitchen turns out a fried chicken biscuit of legendary proportions. Fluffy biscuits hold a juicy batter-fried breast sourced from grateful pastures in nearby Mansfield and a scrambled egg. For a sweet and savory flavor punch, he adds house-made bacon, marmalade, and pimento cheese. It's the kind of breakfast that lets you know you're in the South and can keep you energized for whatever the day brings.
Yeah.
Because it's like 1,500 calories.
Yeah, that would be enough for me for like 2 days.
Yeah, easily. Like that pimento cheese, a fried chicken cutlet, biscuit, bacon marmalade. Like, yeah, easily. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. And then grandmother's favorite. Yeah, grandmother's favorite, pralines. Pralines in Georgia, it is the top pecan producing state in the nation, and it is just so happens that pecan pralines are what helped put River Street Sweets in Savannah on the map. Established in 1973, it is the city's oldest candy store. The toothsome sweets are made from just four simple ingredients: Georgia pecans, sugar, cream, and butter. Don't let the scant ingredients list fool you. The candy makers at River Street are artists making melt-in-your-mouth sweets that even nut haters will love.
That's a bold claim.
That is a very bold claim.
Make me love nut treats. River Street Sweets.
Yeah. And I say old person's favorite because pretty much everybody who is like above the age of 50 is like, I like pralines. And then every young person from then on, they hear about pralines and they're like, yeah, I'm not going to eat that. That's like my grandpa's favorite cookie or favorite thing or whatever. And so I think pralines get a bad rep, is what I'm saying. They are very good. I will say my experience with pralines is that they are chopped up or ground up and they're used as like a topping on a cake or on ice cream or whatever. Like you basically grab it and you destroy it. So it's basically just caramelized pecans and you throw it on stuff and it's super good. And then you try a praline on its own and you're like, yeah, this is amazing. Like, why do people say this is for old people? And it's like, because it's friggin' old. That's why.
Stop the praline ageism. Yeah.
2022. Stop the praline ageism. You gotta stop it. Stop the praline hate. Ground like nut haters.
Dentures fall out.
Yeah, nut haters are gonna love this. But, yeah. And then the final one, I gotta tap on it again. Coca-Cola.
Tap on it, because, like, from the fountain.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. The world's most popular soda was invented right in downtown Atlanta for a boozy twist on the classic, the Super Coke cocktail at... Amar? I don't know. America. It's A-M. Yeah. Hammer. Yeah. Atlanta combines the city's signature soda with clarified lime juice and the restaurant's complex proprietary Amare Amaro blend, with 10 different Amari included. The punchy, bold cocktail is garnished with an orange and a cherry for a drink that's as stylish as it is delicious. Man, they're trying so hard on this drink, when in reality, you spritz some Coca-Cola and you pour some Jack Daniels, you're done. That's all you need. Yeah, you don't need it. Oh, is that Coca-Cola? Yeah. Hey, could you add rum to that? Done. You've satisfied every customer in your restaurant.
Can I get me a Coca-Cola cocktail with some boiled peanuts on the side, yeah, on top of it?
Oh, and maybe some that.
Pralines?
People do that. There are people who swear by putting peanuts in Coca-Cola.
No, thank you. That's all.
Yeah, Coca-Cola to me, I love it. Jack and Coke, I love a good Jack and Coke. The imagine smokiness from the Jack, the Coca-Cola sweetness, it's all great. Rum is really good in it because they're both highly sweet. You have the sweet spiciness of a rum, and then you have the vanilla sweet of a Coca-Cola. It's great.
Tequila all around would just be fun.
Yeah. It tequila. Would be like, add some gasoline.
It would put on a party hat and just
Yeah. The little, I don't know if it's an olive or what that is, a grape. I have no idea, but you just put a little party hat on it. And it's, it'd be perfect.
I was going to say, imagine mixing the Coca-Cola coffee one with alcohol.
Yeah. Especially with a rum. I think it would be very, very good. Anybody who has not tried the Coca-Cola coffee, like, mixed together in the one can, it is actually very good.
Yeah, I think we brought it up before. It's, like, surprisingly good.
Oh, man. I was shocked. I tried it, and I'm like, what the heck? Like, how does this work?
I only had the vanilla version, and I don't think I would like the dark chocolate version. Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah. I don't think I would like that as much, but... Man. The vanilla one is pretty good.
Pretty dang good, man. And doggy. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just going to top it off by saying, I feel like an alcoholic Coca-Cola coffee would, what would you call it? Since that's, Irish coffee. Technically a lot of,
right. I was going to say, they call it an Irish coffee. So, I don't know. Would you call
Georgia
it a
Georgia coffee?
Yeah. A Georgia
Atlanta coffee.
Atlanta coffee? See? Look at that. You're going to be a bartender in no time. it's a Georgia coffee. That's what I would call it, a Georgia coffee.
I'll be,
coffee.
Flipping around bottles and breaking them.
They're like, what is it? Oh, it's whiskey, coffee, and Coca-Cola mixed together.
And also some peanuts.
And some boiled peanuts in the bottom.
It's my special ingredient. You shouldn't tell anybody, though.
You can drink it with peanut butter pie.
if you get a straw, it's like that boba.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. See, everybody, you can eat stuff while you're drinking stuff. I love boba so much. There's so many haters of boba, and I don't know why they're in my life, you know?
I think it's fine. Oh, yeah. Are you talking about Kaylee?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Literally everybody. So, Joel was out here not too long ago, buddy of the pod, and he tried some boba, and it was popping boba. So, it was filled with, like, you know, I can't remember what flavor he got, but usually it's like watermelon, strawberry, something fruity, citrusy, whatever. And he tried it, and he's like, I don't like it when stuff pops in my mouth, or when stuff comes. I'm like, well, you can get the one made of, like, tapioca pearls, or, like, honey, or, you know, where it's chewy. And he's like, I don't want to drink chewy stuff. And it's just like, this drink, boba, is like, worldwide people love this stuff. Like, it's a chain in Oregon, Bobalastic. It's everywhere. Yet everybody I know who tries boba is like, who are you?
I like the tapioca balls. Yeah. I think they're good. Yeah, and also good. Does he not like gushers, since they like,
I know. Yeah. That's kind of my thing, is like, to me, when you're getting a boba and you know you're going to be, like, sucking that stuff up through the straw, to me, it's kind of like a milkshake. If you get a strawberry milkshake, like, expect to get some strawberries, right?
Yeah, or even just some malt. You'll get some of the product.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Then they, yeah. bust open the door and they're like, you know what? We're allowed to hate what we want.
Right. Exactly. They're like, we have opinions too.
We can surround ourselves in hatred if we choose to.
Yeah. That's what they do the whole time. And then I'm like, guys, I just want to eat lunch. Please let me go.
I think I really like blueberry lemon boba.
Yeah. 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 Lemon blueberry. Great combination. Blueberry by itself can be way too overpowering. What is going on? Second, you add that lemon in there.
Not related, but blueberry lemon bread.
Good. Very good. Yeah, yeah. It's like a lemon bundt cake, and then they just throw blueberries in there.
It's so good.
Oh, it's good. It's very good. But you know what is, like, amazingly good? The next we're going to go to, which on United Foods of America, we're going to be heading towards Nevada.
We're going to gamble on the podcast?
We're going to gamble on the pod.
Oh, my
We're going to go on there. We're going to be like, 21. And they're like, no, sir, it's 8. Do you want to hit or do you want to stay? I'm like, hit it.
Hit them with my bold peanuts.
Yeah. You guys got bold peanuts around here? Yeah. Oh, man. But Nevada, crazy state, not because of Vegas or Reno or what have you, but it's like mostly desert. Don't know if it should have as many people as it does. I've heard it is
like smoke all the time.
Right. Yeah, it smells like smoke a lot. But I've heard it is a hidden gem of prettiness. There's a lot of pretty areas in Nevada. You can see there's like little dots of greenery here and there, and they're like in the valleys of the deserts and stuff. But, yeah, it has Vegas, has Reno, everybody's, like, gambling in Nevada, but it's kind of a cowboy state, you know? There's a lot of people who, you know, go there because it's the West, and it's, like, one of the only Western states that is not only very landlocked, but, yeah, it only has, like, it's got Lake Tahoe, and it's got, like, a couple other, like, you know, Colorado River at the bottom type of thing, but not much water. Going around in there. So, but yeah, I'm ready because I don't know much of Nevada except Reno and Vegas. That's it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like, what's going on in Nevada? And so
what
I think
you, what's
gonna
like
be
your prediction that they'll have a lot of?
Ooh, okay. I think not only Native American cuisine, but Mexican cuisine.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have a high tide of that. Peppers, a lot of pepper, things that can grow in dry climates. On top of that, I bet you anything that cattle, so like steak, I bet we see a lot. Because Vegas, the 1950s, machismo, you know, I'm a man, let me get a filet mignon steak, like that's.
Then it's like a little tiny meat cube,
right,
and it's
exactly.
like, ooh, yeah, you're real manly, huh?
Exactly, yeah, they're like, I'm part of the Rat Pack, let me eat my 5-ounce steak, and then some fat trucker comes in and eats like a 50-ounce, like that's, I mean, it's like one of those things, like that is the thing, so I bet cattle is a big thing. And then drink wise,
yeah,
I would say probably tequilas. I bet tequilas are very popular in Nevada, along with champagnes, just because of money coming in.
I bet there'll be a lot of breweries too, like a lot of beer.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good guess actually, because you're close to California with the valley for vineyards, grapes, and things like that.
But then you're also close to Idaho with all the potatoes for vodka.
True.
So it's probably just like a giant pot of alcohol.
Yeah. This is coming from two people that don't know much about Nevada. I mean, we're just, yeah, so we will see next time on United Foods of America. And guys, if you want all the recipes from this episode, get the newsletter. The newsletter, you sign up for it on culinaryconvo.com. It's in the middle of the page under all of our other wonderful media. And you'll get to see all the Pinterest recipes. We'll give you the homemade Coca-Cola recipe. Not really. I'm not going to do that. Just buy Coke, people. Anyways, but we give other recipes through Pinterest. You can see everything. You'll know what the newest episodes are going to be about before they're even published. You're going to get the behind the scene research that we've got, and you'll be caught up with all the news once we get, you know, our Patreon like up and running, and you can support the pod currently on anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support.
Yeah, it's a wonderful podcast, and it's also wonderful to have everybody's support going into it. Yeah. And just as, like, an occasional visitor, it's really fun to watch Devin here, like, talk to a bunch of different people from all kinds of places.
All walks of life.
It's like a whole gateway of unlocked opportunities watching this podcast. Yeah. So, if you like it, say you do, because I'm telling you to.
Like, subscribe, follow, punch the notifications, and then obviously do a do-si-do and go over to YouTube, watch us, like it, rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It helps diversify who can see the podcast, and it just grows it even larger.
Don't rate us on Yelp, though, because it'll hurt our feelings.
Right. Yeah, if you do it on Yelp, they're kind of, I'm going to type in there, like, hi, I am so sorry you didn't like your visit. Can I provide?
No, or you could be like that one person. Oh,
the
person.
Mean. Yeah, the mean that owners.
One, but confidential.
Exactly, yeah. I can be a
I don't care about your opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like, Jared, you don't like how this goes, so you should leave this place now. Bah, bah, bah. Yeah, I could do that. I could be the angry Yelp owner and be like, Culinary Convo has the best information. You're dumb, Jared. Bah. And then, yeah, so it's like, Yeah, I'm like, sorry, Caleb, you can't be the person that knows this. Blah, 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 blah. Maybe you should never listen to me again. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm not the only one who knows how to cook filet mignon.
The only one. It's a me.
I'm French.
Yeah, I'm French. But yeah, sorry, Caleb, Jared, whoever you are out there. Just like, subscribe. We're glad you're here. Everybody's welcome. And we will see everybody next time in United Foods of America in Nevada.
Have a good day, everybody.
Have a good day, everybody. Goodbye.
Peace.
Bye-bye. Peace, everybody.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transition, and outro music. Thank you.